Hey y'all, I have a question for you. If you hear some of these Bible stories that we listen to in church, do you ever like put yourself in those situations and start to think about how actually crazy and mind-blowing these Bible stories are? Well, if you do, you're not alone. I do too. And honestly, so does my friend Claudia. And on this episode, we decided to sit down and have a conversation about these Bible stories and how crazy they are, but then at the same time, how we can get inspiration from them and apply those inspirations in our lives. And at the end of the day, what we were trying to say is that the God who performed those crazy miracles and mind-blowing miracles back then is still the same God of right now. And I know it's been a while since I released that episode, and we have a lot to talk about, but we're going to do all of that. Before that, I just want to introduce this episode as a comeback, as a comeback after the long break, just introduce this episode to you. So I really, really hope that you enjoy my conversation with my very good friend, Claudia. Before we get into the conversation, I just want to say that the song that we were discussing is My God Is Still the Same, because on this podcast, whatever that we talk about is going to be about a song. Like, there's going to be a song in there somewhere. So the song is called My God Is Still the Same and is by Santus Real. It was written by Benji Cowart, Chris Roman, Dustin Lawley, and Josh Brownlee. It was released in 2001. Yeah, so that's the song that we talked about. I hope you really enjoy the conversation and you take some gems and nuggets with you. Like I said, we're going to talk about why I've been gone for so long. But before then, enjoy this conversation with my good friend, Claudia.
You can never truly see like the full picture of how God is working or how he may release you from your bondage or a situation. Like you could feel the tremors of an earthquake, like I was saying before, and not realize that, you know what, these tremors are actually like the release of someone else's imprisonment. And so yeah, God is a prayer answering God, and just his way of opening the doors may be more interesting than you can see. It's not always like the conventional way of like, okay, someone unlocked the door, but like there might just be an earthquake and the door shake open. And so it's a good reminder in this life.
Yeah, that's really good. I was about to move on, but then I remembered that since we're talking about God being a prayer answering God, we might as well just touch a little bit on the fact that God might not answer your prayers exactly how you want him to answer your prayers. And sometimes no is an answer.
Okay, yes, that's it. No, it's true. It's true. But I feel like with every no, is, I guess it's going back to the trusting again that God's plans and his ways is more perfect than like our ideas and things. You know, there's different things that I've prayed for, like, oh, I want to be this, or like I want to go into this field, where you know God says no, because like that's not, I mean, those things were good, but they're not God. And so being God's will has so much more fruit, and there'll be gonna be so much more fulfillment at the end of the day. Like God sees everything, and you know, whether even something as simple as like you want to get this type of car or whatever, like he sees every outcome and every road and every path that you're gonna take, and his plans for you and for your life will never like fail, or it's never gonna be bad. And so every time God says no, it's always a time to, I guess, practice the whole praise and worship, because he's like, okay, God's no to this is a yes to something else. And like God's no to this is also a no to like a life and a path that wouldn't have been as fulfilling as whatever he has in store for me. And so, yeah.
Yeah.
Sometimes he doesn't answer prayers, but I feel like sometimes it's the best answer to prayer when it's a no also.
That's really good. So it's just to remind everybody that's listening to us that the evidence that God has heard your prayer is not him answering it exactly how you want him to answer it. The evidence that God has heard your prayer is the fact that it is in his character to hear your prayer. Like when you pray, he hears you. The fact that he did not give you exactly how you wanted, when you wanted it, how you wanted it, is not the evidence as to whether he heard you or he did not hear you. Immediately you opened your mouth to speak, he heard you. So I feel like that should make us hopeful. You know, like that should be enough for us that he's hearing what I'm saying. Although at the end of the day, he's going to do what he's going to do. And what he's going to do is going to work out for my good. I am very hopeful and I trust the fact that he heard me.
Amen. And even before you spoke, like he knew what you were going to ask.
Knew.
He knew.
Oh, preach girl. Yes. Yes, 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 yes. Love it. Okay. So I'm going to move on to the latter, like the second part of verse 2. It says that, when did he lose his power? When did his mercy change? Never has, never will. My God is still the same. So basically, I feel like the theme of this part of the verse is the fact that God has the power to overcome death, right? Like God has power, yeah. Basically. He's all powerful. Yeah, and he's also merciful. And he hasn't lost it. Like he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He hasn't lost it. He had power in the olden days, or the ancient days when they were writing the Bible and all of that. Like he had power and he was merciful then. He's merciful now and he still has power now. So do you have any Bible stories to kind of depict the power of God?
Yes. A Bible story with the power to overcome death. I chose Jairus's daughter. So this is in Mark 5, chapter 21 to 43. And so Jesus, I think he's walking. It's so like there's massive crowds around him. And so Jairus, he's a man, and he pleads to Jesus like to come and like help his daughter. And so Jesus is okay, I'll come with you like to see your child. Like she's very sick. On his way to go there, there's another lady who she's very desperate. Like she's been sick for 12 years, like bleeding for 12 years. And she, in that moment, like with the crowds all around her, she just touches the hem of Jesus and like she gets healed. And so there's this whole kind of intimation of like, you know, Jesus healing someone else. And like, as that moment is finishing, someone from Jairus's house comes and says, don't bother the teacher anymore. Like your daughter is dead. And so Jesus says, she's not dead. She's just asleep. Like, let's go. And so he gets to the house. And, like, people are laughing, like, oh, you know, she's dead. Like, what are you doing? And, like, you know, he says, like, you know, she's just asleep. And so he goes to her and he says, I forget the exact words, but I want to say that it's like, my daughter, like, wake up or, like, get up and walk. And, like, she gets up and she just begins walking around. And so, yes, I don't know how long she was sick for, how many weeks she was lying in that bed for, but the minute that Jesus entered this house, even when she died, she stopped breathing. He just said, get up, and like she came back from the dead.
Yeah. So mind blow. Like I'm trying to teleport myself into that time. And I still even can't imagine it. Like what? Because I said it before and I'm gonna say it again. Like if Jesus was like in 2023, people would say he's a weird guy, because like, how do you see somebody who is dead and say he's sleeping?
Yeah. People would just look at him like, bless him, he's in denial. But no, that, my friends, is faith.
That is insane. And the fact that when he resurrected the girl from the dead, yeah, he said, like, give her something to eat. So it means, like, the girl came back from the dead and she actually had the capability to open her mouth and eat.
Yeah.
Give her something to eat, give her something to drink. So she was, like, normal. She was, like, a normal girl.
Yeah. So it's, like, not only did he raise her from the dead, like, he just healed her completely. Like, she was just... Like he said, she was just asleep. She's time to eat breakfast now. Like she'll be like, why is everyone staring? I'll be like, let me get some food.
Yeah, she was fine. She was just fine. Because I remember hearing this story in one of the South American countries. I don't know which country it was, but like there was this woman who was dead and they were having her funeral and she came back to life. I actually don't know how the story ended, but it was all over the news. And like when you look at the videos, the reason why they were saying she was back to life was that she was kind of breathing, but she wasn't like well. You could see she's sick, you could see like she's been dead, like she looks like a dead person, right? She's pale. She's pale. She looks very sick and she's just breathing like really, really tiny, I don't know if that's even a thing, like tiny breath. And that's why they're saying like she's alive. But that was not what happened in Jesus's time. Like the girl was completely fine. She could walk, she could eat, she could drink water.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah, there was no tiny breaths here. Like she, it was just like the next day. She was fresh. Probably felt fresher than she's felt before.
I can't imagine. She was probably looking so beautiful, like glowing.
Yeah.
Like imagine knowing this girl, right? Like being this girl's best friend, and they tell you, oh, your best friend is dead. And then the next second you see her say, hey girl, like
what is happening? You know? But it's just like when Jesus enters the room, dead things come back to life. Like nothing is dead in his presence. And like he just gives her back to his parents. It's like, okay, like,
yeah, like as if nothing happened, as if like it was just like, that is the God we're serving, though. Like that is the God we're serving. And I feel like sometimes when we hear these stories over and over again, we don't really realize like this God is powerful. Like he has power over death.
Yeah.
Death, which is like the last thing, like the last devastating thing that could happen to you. Like the worst thing that could happen to you. Because if you die, like that's it, you're done.
Mm-hmm.
There's no hope. God has power over that. So it's like, what situation are you in that makes you think God can't fix it when he can raise people from the dead?
Yeah. And even I'm just thinking of like Jairus as well, like as a father, him coming to Jesus, like, okay, like if I can just get to Jesus, get him back to my daughter in time, like it's gonna be fine, like he'll heal her. And then obviously, like, you know, someone else is healed in the process, but then you hear like, oh, okay, like you've done everything, you've done the right thing, you've actually gone, you've put your faith in Jesus, but your daughter still dies. It's like, you know, at that moment, like you must be crushed, like what is he thinking? But then he's realizing that, okay, I guess he's realizing the intentionality, but okay, she's dead for a reason. Like even when the situation looks like it's past breaking point, like it looks like, okay, God should have done something by now, like okay, time's running out, and the worst thing that you think has happened just happened. At that point, that's not where the faith ends. The faith continues to go even past death's door, because like Jesus still healed her, whether she was sick or she was dead, and like brought, like answered the same prayer again. And so, yeah, I guess it's just like the faith has no, he was stretching it to people's faith. Yeah. They thought that, okay, Jesus can only heal like if she's sick, but once the child died, I will still raise her back to life again. And so, like you said, that's the type of God that we serve.
Yeah, it was all for the glory of God. And I think one thing about that story that I also really love is the fact that when they came to tell him that his child is dead, I feel like Jesus saw how heartbroken he was. Like Jesus saw him kind of lose faith a little bit, because it says that like Jesus told him, do not lose faith, or like do not be afraid or something. Jesus says something like that. I'm not wrong. I think Jesus says something to him like, do not lose faith, or do not be afraid, your child will be fine. Or like Jesus empathized with him. That's what I'm trying to say. Like Jesus empathized with the fact that something like that could be devastating. And he encouraged him in that. So I think that's amazing to me, because he wasn't harsh. He wasn't, you know, shouting at him like, why are you losing faith? Da, 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 da. You don't know I can raise people from the dead. Jesus still empathized with him and then did a marvelous miracle. I really love that about the story.
It's beautiful, man. We serve a good God.
He's good. He's good and he's all powerful. And I feel like if we've decided to believe in him and trust him, sometimes we need to take the familiarity that we've had with these stories and actually think about them and ponder on how powerful he is, and that should be able to increase our faith and our trust in him. And it's not easy, like we know we're sitting here talking about it, and talk is cheap. People say talk is cheap, like you can say whatever you want to say until you find yourself in the situation. So we acknowledge the fact that it's not easy, and we pray that God will continue to increase our faith and increase our trust in him. But I feel like we need to press on to get to the point where we have so much faith in the God that we're serving that it doesn't matter how dead the situation is, when he steps in, he brings life along with him, you know?
Amen. Yeah, there's no limits that we can put on God.
Okay, so you ready to move on to the chorus and the hook?
Of course. Yeah.
Okay. So the chorus said, no, the chorus, yeah, the chorus says, when did he break his promise? When did his kindness fail? Never has, never will. My God is still the same. When did he lose his power? When did his mercy change? Never has, never will. My God is still the same. And then the bridge also says, not once did he ever stop moving. Not once has he ever let go. Not once did he ever stop proving our God is in control. That is so encouraging. It's so encouraging. Okay, so do you have any Bible stories for us? Because the theme that I'm picking from this is like, God is a promise keeper. He's kind. He doesn't lose his power. He's all powerful. He doesn't change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So mm-hmm. do you have any Bible stories to depict any of these themes?
Yeah, so promise keeping, all powerful. I think one of the stories I really like is the story of Sarah and Abraham. And so we find this in Genesis 18, where from the beginning, God promises Abraham, okay, you're going to be like father of many nations, or like a nation is going to come from you. And so bear in mind, like Abraham and Sarah, they have no children for like years. Like they're in old age now, thinking about like, okay, a nation is going to come from us, like where? And so I think, I want to say God visits them at some point, and the Lord visits them, and he says, this time next year, you're going to have a child. And so Sarah, she's like overhearing like this conversation between the Lord and Abraham. And like, she's laughing in quietly in her tent at God, because she's like, there's no way, like I'm literally an old woman. Like I think her womb is like dead, or like close to death. Cause like I'm imagining a literal granny in my head and like someone's about like telling her like, yeah, you're going to give birth. So like, okay, sure. So they're like over 100 years old. And so, you know, there's really like a bit of a backstory where like they try and like take things into their own hands. But yeah, same time next year, like Sarah, she gives birth to a child, and she's like, she names him Laughter, because she's like, God has brought joy into my life. And you know, mm-hmm. Abraham and Sarah, like they're over 100 years old at this point. Like they're wrinkled, they're, I don't know, it probably have like severe back pain, but somehow even from like a womb that is meant to be dead, like God still brings life from it again. Like it's meant something that's impossible. Like when I just think of like people in like an old people's home where like just like pregnant 90-year-olds where it shouldn't even be possible anymore, but like he kept his promise even when it seemed like there's just no way, we've been waiting for so long. And so yeah, God is just powerful.
That is such a very classic Bible story. That is just, it blew my mind all the time, because I'm like, the time that God told Abraham that he's going to make him the father of many nations, right? Like 9 months later, Sarah could have given birth, but no, he decided to let him wait for 25 years.
Yep.
25, in his sovereignty, he decided, I'm going to tell you now, but it's going to happen 25 years later. Like in my head, I'm thinking, if you know it's going to happen 25 years later, why are you telling me now?
Literally,
why, like what was the reason?
Just the wait was just extra long at that point. It's like, okay, well, it's gonna happen,
but he still came through. That is so and sometimes like when we hear God is going to do something for us and it doesn't happen the next week or the next day, we're like, we're done. we're done.
I give up. Or you even start like doubting yourself. Okay, did I hear him wrong? Did he say mini nations? Maybe he meant like, is nations like maybe a field of crops?
That if we don't hear our answer the next hour, but they had to wait 25 years. That is insane.
Insane. And like even more insane is like, you know, Romans 4:20, it says his faith grew daily. Like Abraham's faith continued to grow every single day. Yeah. Like how? Like it's increasing the longer that you're waiting for this promise to come, year after year after year, after 25 years.
That's insane. I don't know how he did it, but I feel like he probably did the basic. He didn't really do anything extra. He just kept being intimate with God and staying under his presence. Because I feel like if he got distracted with anything else, it would have been so easy. Because me in the story, I'm Sarah. I'm like, you know what? God is taking way too long. Let me help him bring this baby. Abraham, go sleep with my maid. Like, first of all, what? Who does that? Who like gives permission to their husband to go sleep with another woman? You know, Sarah, when I get to heaven, I have so many questions for her. Because, girl, what were you thinking?
No, literally. So, wait, should we share like the backstory to that?
Oh, please go ahead, please.
So basically, whilst they're waiting for like this promised child to come, Sarah's like, okay, well, maybe Abraham is meant to come for you and my mate, her guy. And so she sends him off to like sleep with her, which I wonder like what Abraham's thoughts were, but like I guess he's like, okay. And then she sees her guy pregnant, and Sarah's like, excuse me, did you just leave my husband? And then she like kicks her out. And she kicks her out of the house. Like, you literally orchestrated this whole thing. How are you doing 180?
But also Hagar too. I have questions for her, because like, how are you gonna stop being proud when you finally get pregnant? Like, girl, be humble. Like, why would you do that? Why would you want to act in that way? Like, always be humble, you know?
This whole situation was just so messy. But that's just what happens when we try and, like, make God's promises, like, happen by ourselves. It's just a mess. Like, we are not the promise keepers like God is.
Mm-hmm.
So we really, really see this, our own mess unfolding sometimes.
Yeah, but then that is also something that I like about the story, the fact that even in their humanity trying to make it happen for themselves, God was like, I'm not even looking at what you're doing. I'm still gonna do what I said I'm gonna do, regardless of what you did. But it would just have been better if you didn't do anything. Like, there wouldn't have been any mess, any trauma, any baby mama drama for us to deal with. But now that you've done it, my promise is not going to come to pass. You're just going to have to suffer, and I would have to come clean your mess. Do you know what I mean?
It's like they could have avoided so much just stress, and they just rested and they waited. Had faith.
So much drama, like baby mama drama, like all of it could have just been just gone.
Mm-hmm.
If they had just waited, but... they did wait, but like they tried to do their thing, and God was like, regardless of that, I'm still gonna be their promise keeper. I'm still gonna do what I said I was gonna do. And that is just amazing. That tells us that when we're putting our weight on God, we can fully just drop it on him, you know, like we can fully just rely and just wait. He's gonna do what he said he's gonna do. And even if we try to make mistakes and we try to do it in our own strength, have to go back to him, let him help us fix it. But at the end of the day, everything's gonna work out for our good.
Yeah. And like, you know what? I guess we can't even blame him. Like you said, 25 years is a long time. Like, you would start to get like a bit itchy, a bit angsty, like, okay, when's it gonna happen? Like, I should, again, maybe I'm meant to be doing something, like, let me move myself, because you're waiting for so many years, you know, just like, okay, when's this promise gonna come through? And like, it's not easy to kind of fight that temptation of like just waiting on God. Like, you can definitely like make your own ideas. Okay, maybe I need to do this. Maybe I need to like go to this place. Maybe I need to send my husband off to, you know, sleep with this girl. Like, yeah, I think it's really, yeah, having that trust while you wait. Like you said, I think it goes back to that intimacy thing, where if Abraham was continuously intimate with God, he's focusing on God, not on the situation, not on like the lack of the promise, but he's focusing on the promise keeper, then his faith grew daily. Like, whether he could see the promise or not, he could still have being God's president. That was enough for him. And so I guess we could take that away as well for ourselves.
Wow, that's amazing. We've come to kind of the end of the song. So do you have any last words, like anything to kind of wrap up the whole conversation that we just had?
Any last words? I would just say that all these stories kind of just execute the importance of like faith and trusting God, and like how much faith can like move mountains, even if it's something small. Like, it's just, you know, whether it's in trusting God to like calm your storm, or trusting him to like get you out of this prison, or, you know, to fulfill that promise, or to overcome death. Just realizing that, like, even when there was the lack of faith, like, God still had so much grace and mercy to come through. And you know, each of these stories, it really just comes all together to just glorify Christ, you know, to signify Christ, you know, where we kind of see the completion of all of these themes of promise keeping and overcoming death and releasing from prison and, you know, God's authority. Like, we see that all comes to pass through the cross, where you know, Jesus rises from death again. Like, his blood washes us from our sin, and we see the promise that he's been saying for as he was leading to the coming of Christ, and, you know, come to pass. And yeah, just these are just like small stories of God's characteristics that was really, really and truly just fulfilled on the cross. And so I think that's the main theme to come away. And even as you say, how the God then is the same God as is now, and how we can put so much hope and trust in that in our own situations.
That's amazing. That's like literally everything that we're trying to communicate to the audience. And what I'm going to add is that you might not necessarily find yourself in the exact situation that the people of old did. Like, you might not be Abraham and Sarah trying to have a child where you have to wait for 25 years and you're 100 years old and your wife is 90. Like, that might not be your situation. Like, that might not be your exact situation. You know, you might not be Paul and Silas in prison being beaten up in shackles, because now it's this freedom of religion, so nobody's going to do that to you. So you might not be in that exact situation. You might not be on the sea with Jesus asleep on your boat. Like, those exact situations might not repeat themselves, but there are principles that happened in those situations that you can always, always, always bank on and know that when you apply these principles, they are going to work. Like, so it's different situations, but then God has the same principles that we can rely on. He has authority. That's a principle. He's a prayer answering God. That's a principle. He has the power to overcome death and calm the storm. That's a principle. He's a promise keeper. Like, those are the principles of God that regardless of whatever situation that we're in, we can bank on them and know that if we base our faith and our trust in God on these principles, he will come through. He has to come through, and he might not come through in the same exact manner or same exact way or same exact time that we want him to. But at the end of the day, remember that he still has the power to work everything out for your good, even if it doesn't work out how you want it to work out.
So, amen. That is so good and so accurate. Like, as you said, like, we might not be in these exact situations, but we can all relate to it in some in some depth and degree. To these people, because they're real people. And so just knowing people. That okay, if they went through that and like they got through it, then we can also get through it, because it's just the exact same God.
Exactly. Oh, that is so good. Well, thank you so much for having this conversation with me. I always love it where we get to talk about music and get to talk about God, because you're so insightful, you're so smart, you love God, your passion for things of God and all of that is so inspiring. So I always love to talk to you and feed off of that energy. So thank you so much for doing this with me.
Oh, of course. And you too. But thank you so much for inviting me. I love coming here. So
Hopefully this will not be the last time we talk about something. We'll get to do this soon or later, whatever works for you. But I really appreciate you being on the podcast with me. Thank you.
Of course. Anytime. Thank you so much.
All right. Enjoy the rest of your day. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode, and I hope you enjoy the conversation I had with Claudia. Claudia, thank you so much for doing this with me. You have no idea how much it means to me. I really appreciate you. Your zeal and your passion for Christ is so inspirational. I love you. I think you're beautiful and you're smart, and I can't wait to continue to have these types of conversation with you. Girl, thank you so much, and I really wish you all the best in everything that you do. I pray that you continue to live for God and that God continues to blow your mind in every aspect of your life. And to you who are listening to this episode, thank you so much for listening. If you liked it, please share and subscribe to the podcast and share it with everybody that you know. Again, the song that we discussed is called My God Is Still the Same by Sanctus Real. If you love the song, add it to your Spotify playlist or whatever playlist that you have and listen to it. And I promise you, you're going to get inspired by it. And now that you've listened to this podcast, every single lyric in that song is going to mean something to you. So it's even so much better for you to listen to it now. So thank you so much for doing this with me, Claudia. Thank you so much for listening. And I'll come your way another day, another time with another episode. Until then, be safe, be happy, be you. Bye.